Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Get inspiration, innovation and insight at MADE, the Entrepreneur Festival. Join us at MADE Festival to be educated and inspired by a jam-packed day of business success. Hear from JB Gill, farmer, entrepreneur and former member of boy band JLS, Annabelle Carmel, cookery author and entrepreneur, Joe McEwen, head of digital at Innocent Drinks and many more. This year we blend inspirational success stories with business skills training, customer service, sales, marketing and social media, all designed to help you win more customers and increase profit. MADE, the Entrepreneur Festival, 22nd of October, Sheffield City Hall. Visit madefestival.com for more information.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insight and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock on Friday, the 16th of October, 2015. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your presenter for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. We're broadcasting here on 93.2 FM and through our internet live stream from sheffieldlive.org. And the show will also be available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website. In today's show, we'll be talking with Peter Wright, solicitor and MD of Digital Law UK, and with Paul Kilner of the Confucius Institute at the University of Sheffield. Today's show was recorded yesterday on the 15th of October. Before we turn to our guests, some business news. The latest business population estimates have been released by the Department for Business, Innovation and Skills, and they show an annual boost of 146,000 new small businesses to the UK economy, bringing the total to a record 5.35 million. Gordon Millward, who's the regional chairman for the Federation of Small Businesses, commented that this underlines the importance of small business as creators of employment and growth. He said they make up 99.3% of all businesses in the UK, generating over £1 trillion in turnover and accounting for 48% of private sector employment. Millward also added that the increase in small business numbers shows that the entrepreneurial spark is alive and well here in the UK, and that the key is to continue to encourage people to take the plunge and set up their own business by providing support that will help them to grow and to meet their aspirations. New official data has been published showing the growing threat of cybercrime and online fraud. An estimated 3.8 million adults in England and in Wales have been victims of some form of online fraud in the space of a year, according to the figures in the Crime Survey for England and Wales. The survey has included statistics on internet crime for the first ever time, and it was conducted between May and August. It showed an estimated 5.1 million incidents of online fraud, and an estimated 2.5 million incidents categorised under the Computer Misuse Act, in which the victim's computer or another internet-enabled device was infected by a virus, or where someone's email or social media account was hacked. The survey is published quarterly by the Office for National Statistics, and it reflects experience of crime. It's separate from police-recorded figures. A separate survey has found that 44% of SMEs admit that they've been victims of a cyber attack. So in today's programme, we'll be talking with digital law expert, solicitor and MD of Digital Law UK, Peter Wright, to talk about how businesses and social enterprises can prevent themselves from the potential for cybercrime. A Sheffield sweet maker has won a new contract to supply the Co-op. Maxons Limited, the historic family-owned sweet manufacturer, has secured a contract for regional supply to the co-op as part of a local sourcing initiative, which is being piloted in Yorkshire. Sheffield-based company has already started supplying its range of traditional boiled sweets and sherbets to 70 co-ops throughout South Yorkshire. Maxons dates back to the 1880s. It began as Dixon's and in the 1950s merged with a wholesale business founded by Ralph Pitchfork, the grandfather of current directors Richard and Chris. The business now employs 20 staff, turns over £1 million. A new website aimed at promoting Sheffield as the UK's outdoor city has been launched this week. The website, theoutdoorcity.co.uk, is part of the council's drive to rebrand the city in a bid to attract businesses to relocate here to boost tourism and attract workers. It's been launched during the European Outdoor Summit, an international conference which was attended this week by 300 delegates from all over the world. The new website will feature walking routes, information, recommendations and all sorts of information, and a draft outdoor strategy to set out routes to improve the city's outdoor recreation is also due to be released this week. Rotherham Town Centre is one of three finalists in the UK in the Great British High Street competition. This year's competition has seen over 200 applicants, and for the first time the public has a chance to vote directly online for their best loved high street. So if you want to vote for Rotherham, go to thegreatbritishhighstreet.co.uk/finalist-town-centre. One vote per email address, and voting closes on the 13th of November. Sheffield City Centre's Business Improvement District has appointed a new manager, Diane Jarvis. Diane Jarvis will be responsible for a range of initiatives to make the city centre more vibrant. She's been a board director for a vocational training firm in London since 2012, and she's previously worked in manufacturing and in marketing. She's also previously worked for Sheffield's Local Enterprise Growth Initiative programme. Don't forget, coming up next Thursday, it's MADE, the Entrepreneurship Festival, taking place all day at the City Hall. That's next Thursday. But also all of next week, there are fringe events, most of which are free, taking place throughout Sheffield. Take a look at MADE, the Entrepreneur Festival, their website, where you can see not only the events taking place on the day of the main event, but also the fringe events. A brilliant programme of fringe events throughout the week. Now, I would say brilliant programme of fringe events. I'm speaking at one myself. It's a free event, so do come along, say hello. It'd be lovely to meet you. That's taking place on Wednesday at 4 o'clock at the Vincent Harris Suite in the City Hall. It's an event called Scaling Up Transformational Leadership and Smart Digital Marketing, organised by the Wasco Brown Foundation. It's one of their business growth sessions with presentations and information about scaling up, about digital marketing and transformational leadership. You'll have the chance to pick speakers' brains and learn from their experiences. So come along, that's next Wednesday, 4 p.m. Another fringe event at MADE is being hosted at the Workstation next Tuesday. It's an event organised by Benchmark Recruit and Common Purpose. It's about thinking outside the box with a practical session in which you have to work as a team to unlock a giant box by solving a series of clues. It's all about the art of collaboration. 2 till 4pm next Tuesday, the 20th of October. If you want to get to that, email reception@benchmarkrecruit.co.uk. And don't forget, the Sheffield Business Awards, whose deadline for applications was extended through today. Today's your last chance to enter before the deadline, end of today. And retailers and manufacturers in particular are being urged to enter. The gala presentation for the awards will take place on Thursday, the 3rd of December. And there are 14 categories in which you can enter. This year's event has been sponsored by Elevation Recruitment and it will attract more than 700 people to the gala dinner. And if you enter, of course, you will also get automatic entry from most of the awards into the British Chamber of Commerce Awards too, and the chance to bag a national title. So look up the Sheffield Business Awards and you've got till the end of the day to enter. And an entrepreneur in Sheffield who is pursuing sweet success with a healthier sugar product from her native Colombia has received official approval. She has been made her government's ambassador for the all-natural sweetener. Panela, which is a form of sugar claimed to have 50 times more vitamins and minerals than white granulated sugar, is hailed as a superfood in Colombia. And its production is the country's second biggest industry after coffee. It generates income for 350,000 people. Colombian lawyer Natalia Welch, who is a Sheffield teaching assistant, has been working for 3 years to bring her country's best-kept secret to the UK. She sells her Pura Panela brand at farmers markets and through Sheffield shops and restaurants. And now she's got this official status in terms of government ambassador for the sweetener. She expects the business to take off. She's made the UK figurehead of the Colombian government's international Sierra de Brechas campaign, which is supported by the Colombian Ministry for Agriculture and the 350-strong farmers' cooperative, FEDE Panela. She grew up with the caramel-flavoured sugar, produced by an ancient process which extracts juice from sugarcane, then boils it to a concentrated paste for over 5 hours, preserving its mineral, vitamin and antioxidant content. She says that it's Colombia's superfood, containing calcium, potassium, magnesium and iron, and that people add it in Colombia to their cooking and to their drinks. She says that even famous road cyclist Nairo Quintana, who made his debut in the Tour de France 2013, swears by it for an endurance boost. Natalia has received help from Sheffield University and from Business Sheffield. She's won Best Business Idea at the University's Enterprise Awards. She's been nominated for the Emerging Entrepreneur Award at the MADE Festival last year, and she's featured in The Guardian as a Startup of the Year 2014 nominee. She's also getting support from the Wasco Brown Foundation. Now, as ever, I'd welcome your views on what's going on in business and in social enterprise. You're always welcome to get in touch with this programme and with me. You can email jamie@sheffieldlive.org, text 07904 272 200. Find us on Twitter at Sheffield Live and at Jamie Veitch. Whether you're starting or running a business or a social enterprise, whether you're self-employed or if you're an employer, we're always keen to hear from you. So let's turn now to our first guest. And we talked at the very start of the show about the new statistics showing the growing threat of cybercrime and online fraud. So yesterday, Thursday, I caught up with a solicitor and managing director of Digital Law UK, Peter Wright, to ask him what businesses and social enterprises can do to protect themselves. Peter, thanks very much for joining me today.
Thank you for the invitation, Demi.
So we've heard the horrific figures about the increase in cybercrime, and those are figures in terms of cybercrime generally across the UK. Businesses, of course, are also being victims of cybercrime as well as individuals. Now, Peter, what should businesses do to protect themselves from crime, from cybercrime?
Well, there's a few points that all businesses should really be aware of, and I'd say the first and possibly the most important is encryption. And encryption is something that should be in place on email if it is being used to send personal data, and there are three systems out there like 7-Zip, for example, that can be used on email just to encrypt any attachments that can be containing personal data, which at least ensure that if any businesses are, say, sending financial data or, say, payroll or HR records, they can be confident then that that data is being sent in a secure manner. It has to be remembered that normal email is about as secure as a postcard that you just put into the postbox, in that pretty much anyone will be able to see it, because it is not designed to be secure. You have to add encryption to email for it to be properly secure. So it's always worth any business making sure that it asks the question, is our email secure and is it encrypted?
Right, quite. So encryption number one. So businesses shouldn't be sending customer information databases as attachments to bog standard emails. They need to look at encryption, and you need to consider an ordinary email. You might be negotiating a contract. backwards and forwards by email, and that is as public as sending a postcard.
Indeed, yes, and the thing to remember as well is that if, say, you're using, and this is probably an issue for small businesses in particular, if you're using, say, something like Gmail or Hotmail, and even something like Gmail, you can pay a small fee to Google and they will, you can have your own business's domain name on there, so it'll say at your business, not at Gmail, but it's still using Gmail servers. They're located in America, so they're very leaky indeed. And not very secure at all. But because it's a low-cost solution, of course, an awful lot of people will jump at the chance without thinking about this encryption issue.
Quite. OK. So encryption, that applies to email. That will apply to uploading large files through through file sharing services that people use as well.
Indeed, yes. And that actually brings me to the second point, which is to always be very careful about what cloud providers you may use, be it for file sharing, for data storage or data transfer. So if you're using something like, say, Dropbox, that, again, is something that is highly insecure and shouldn't be used for the storage or transmission of personal data, or indeed confidential or commercial data, for that matter. Basically, there are fairly inexpensive premium cloud providers out there that really any business should be working with, and once you are doing that, you will then have a contract with them, and then you need to ask them certain questions so that you can be comfortable that your data is indeed safe. So you want to ask questions like, where is the data being stored? You know, is it going to be in the UK? And we always certainly advise our clients that you want your data to be in the United Kingdom, not really either anywhere else, arguably within the European Economic Area, but certainly you don't particularly want it to be stored in the United States for that, for those same reasons. And we also say you need to be careful about how that data is stored by the provider, i.e. what sort of security measures do they have in place in terms of encryption, in terms of wider antivirus security, even down to who has access to the building where the servers are located. I know, for example, that my business's servers are located 300 foot under a field in Lincolnshire in the next NATO bunker. So while I might not be safe in the event of the apocalypse, I know that my data is. But it serves to illustrate the point that I know exactly where it is, and I know how secure it is, and I know who, and it's the very smallest of people, actually have access to it in its physical environment. You also need to make sure that, for example, you can audit your cloud provider. Regularly go in, ask them questions, find out what they're doing with the data. You want to make sure that, for example, when at the end of a contract or arrangement, what happens with that data? Will they delete it or will they return it to you? If so, what format will it be returned to you in? How will they transfer the data to you? All these sorts of questions need to be thought of and considered at the outset of entering into the relationship with the cloud provider. That then ensures control by a organization, and any organization holding personal data should be registered as data controller with the Information Commissioner, but that ensures they have an element of control over their data in the cloud.
Indeed. So that's absolutely vital. Think about storage, think about encryption, and think about who and where your data is stored, and whether that's secure or not. OK, Peter, lovely.
Yes.
Now, next tip, next piece of advice.
The next thing to be very much aware of, and this again comes into play with email and the cloud, is have a policy in place that covers the use of passwords. Password
right.
security is probably the biggest weakness that is out there. If you look at the list of the 10 most popular passwords in the world, the most popular one is just that, the word password.
You can't quite believe it, I'm sure, but astonishing, really.
And numbers 1 to 7 in the list of the top 10 are things like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
And you have to go down to number 8, which I believe is Dragon at the last count. I think that's due to the popularity of certain fantasy TV shows.
Yeah.
But that kind, yeah, you know, that's all you've got to go to until people start to add in a little bit more inventiveness. Really, people need to be using a password system which allows for passwords to be changed regularly, preferably every, say, 2 months or so.
Yeah.
You want to have a mixture of upper and lowercase characters in those passwords. You want to have some non-alphanumerics, so for example, a hashtag or an at symbol or exclamation mark, question mark. And you also want to have that, make sure that isn't written down in a very obvious place. And the number of workplaces that we've gone into where we've been working with our clients and we've found the password written on a post-it note stuck on the laptop or the monitor kind of makes the whole purpose of the password irrelevant if you're going to have it stuck next to a piece of equipment that it needs.
It certainly does, yes.
So we will sometimes sit down with our clients and implement an easy-to-follow system, because the reason why people do this, or why they'll use a very easy-to-remember password, is because they don't want to have complex passwords to remember for every single account and network they have. So usually we'll try and think of something that is memorable, that's linked to whatever that individual organisation does. So it could be linked to a football team or a cricket team or a rugby 15 or, you know, something like that gives you, you know, 10 to 15 surnames and various team numbers that you can then come up with different combinations so that people can think, oh, yeah, right, well, I know where I am because it's, I'm number 5 on that list now. And you don't necessarily have it written down. You just know more instinctively what that password will be. And it can be sometimes be a fun and amusing thing to do as well. So rather than just forcing indecipherable passwords onto people, you need to engage with them to do something that they'll be able to remember easily, but is practical and effective as well.
Yes.
Next thing, of course, is to make sure you're not using the same password on multiple accounts. So, you know, you wouldn't want your work email password to be the same password for your Facebook and LinkedIn account, for example.
No, quite. And presumably, again, it's a surprising number of businesses and people do this.
Yes, very much so. The danger as well is that people will come up with easy to remember passwords based on, you know, where they live or where they've worked in the past or the name of their spouse or their pet or their child or that sort of thing. And the problem then could be that if someone has hacked into their Facebook account or is even connected to a Facebook or LinkedIn profile using a fake profile that's been created, you know, a generic meta photo and a few details put down and a random connection request sent, they can then see all the data that you've shared online, and that'll give them a very good idea what your password's likely to be. So we always say never accept a connection request from someone that you don't know or haven't met online.
Indeed, indeed, vital. So some great advice there that businesses can use to reduce the risk. And according to figures that I've seen from business associations, 44% of SMEs have admitted that they've been victims of a cyber attack. So that's that considerable risk there. And we talked earlier on in the programme today about the new national crime figures released by the Office of National Statistics. So this advice from Peter Wright, Solicitor and Managing Director at Digital Law UK, vital for businesses. Peter, you're writing a book also about cybersecurity, I understand. That's going to be published next year, is that right?
It is, yes. It's it's called the Cybersecurity Toolkit, and it's designed for professional services firms. And it contains things like checklists, templates, and fact sheets that help organisations get all the governance and policies in place, taking the basic information and tailoring it to what they need, so they have the right measures in place to give themselves some protection when it comes to having some security measures in place to deal with the cybersecurity threat. And that is the thing that ultimately all businesses need. Have a clear policy on this, have some training so that your staff understand exactly what the policy is, and also have some assessments in place, you know, 10 simple questions to make sure that people have understood what the policy is and how it impacts on their jobs and every day. If all businesses do that, they're going a long way to protect themselves.
Indeed, absolutely. Well, Peter, thank you very much indeed for joining us today to talk about your advice for businesses and small businesses, social enterprise, really do need to be vigilant, take action. You don't want to be in the 44% of small businesses who say they've been victims of cyber attack, but you can prevent the likelihood of being attacked by taking some simple actions. Peter, people can get hold of you, of course. They can find you on Twitter and at your website. Do you want to give a shout out of those?
Absolutely, yes. We're on Twitter, Digital Law UK, and we are also on Facebook, which is /Digital Law UK, and our website is www.digitallawuk.com. Got plenty of information on there, and we also have an iPhone app that people may want to download as well, that also has plenty of information on it as well. So you can just go to the iPhone App Store, search Digital Law UK, and you'll see our app there.
Brilliant. So sage advice there, Peter. Thank you very much indeed. And have we missed any really salient tips? Is there anything else that people should think about that they can take away having listened to this today?
I think the final thing is just to be aware of people either sending spam emails, what they call phishing emails, that are looking for person who receives them to put in personal data or financial data, impersonating the bank or even HMRC.
Yes.
This is a growing area, and in particular people are starting to receive phone calls from people impersonating the banks or other organisations, and that has led to the biggest fraud yet against a business in the UK, which is over £1 million that a business transferred thinking that their bank account was at risk and that their bank was telling them the money had to be moved, and it turned out it was a cyber criminal.
Good grief. So this is getting more and more sophisticated.
It is indeed. And it's not just... measures are being taken now whereby even the caller ID that comes up on the phone that you're receiving this call from, it will make it look as though you are receiving the call from the organisation that they are impersonating, and that's what happened in this instance.
Right.
These are increasingly sophisticated, and you really need to be savvy and need to think about these sorts of things, again, in that internal policy and governance that your business has, to make sure that your staff know certain questions to ask themselves when they receive a call or an email from someone purporting to be someone from a supplier or financial service or providers such as HMRC.
Absolutely. Okay, vital. Peter Wright, Solicitor and Managing Director of Digital Law UK, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Jenny.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org. And you've just heard an interview with Peter Wright, Solicitor and Managing Director of Digital Law UK, talking about how businesses can protect themselves from cyber fraud and cyber crime. Before we turn to our guest, our next interview, time for some music.
We're open for Business Live.
Get inspiration, innovation and insight at MADE, the Entrepreneur Festival. Join us at MADE Festival to be educated and inspired by a jam-packed day of business success. Hear from JB Gill, farmer, entrepreneur and former member of boy band JLS, Annabelle Carmel, cookery author and entrepreneur, Joe McEwen, head of digital at Innocent Drinks and many more. This year we blend inspirational success stories with business skills training, customer service, sales, marketing and social media, all designed to help you win more customers and increase profit. MADE, the Entrepreneur Festival, 22nd of October, Sheffield City Hall. Visit madefestival.com for more information.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insights and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
This is Business Live on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org. Now, we've talked earlier in the show today about the forthcoming MADE Festival, which takes place next week. MADE Festival is on Thursday at the City Hall,
And there are fringe events all through the week with a range of topics being covered. Find out more at the Maid Festival website, both about the main festival and all the fringe events. Now, last week, I caught up with Paul Kilner of the Confucius Institute at the University of Sheffield to talk with Paul about doing business in China and about a forthcoming Maid Festival fringe event all about doing business in China. We'll hear from Paul now. Okay, so Paul Kilner of the Confucius Institute, Sheffield, University of Sheffield, thanks very much for joining me and good morning.
Morning.
So you've come in to talk about doing business in China event coming up as a fringe event, part of the Maid Festival.
That's right.
So first of all, when's it happening?
Well, this event is a morning event prior to the full-blown international Maid Festival. So it's on the 21st, 9 in the morning till 12. And it's down in the City Hall Ballroom.
Lovely. And what can people expect as they go along?
Well, it's a celebration of China facing out, China being the one of the main targets for the city to engage with, to increase prosperity and jobs in the Sheffield region.
And so, networking, learning, advice. I know one of the sessions as part of this event is about, is your online presence China friendly?
Well, yes, we're lucky to get an expert, Alan Easter, to come and give us the IT expertise on how to present yourself globally and benefit from that presence.
Lovely. And also there's Yiyong Ling talking about the Great Ambassadors China Scheme. Now, regular listeners to this programme will have heard an interview about that scheme in the past. Very positive scheme, and Sheffield's hosting that scheme because Sheffield has more students from China than any other city in the UK, I understand. I also noted that there's going to be an update from Jerry Chung about the New Era development.
Yes, that's right. Jerry's going to come in and give a yes, exactly that, an update on how his development's coming along and what he intends to do with his business hub, which is going to be a benefit to anybody thinking again of connecting with China. There'll be a business hub, and he's going to say how that works and how beneficial it will be.
Lovely. And then, what else can people expect at the event?
Well, we've got a contributor called Vince Cunningham, and he's based at Brampton, and it's quite a regional. It's a wonderful story. He's been bringing people over from China for the past 15 years. He's got incredible connectivity with let's say some of the more senior business leaders in China, and he's got a wealth of experience, and is willing to share it about how he started and how he continues to snowball in the current climate, which is, despite what people say, is still an exciting time to be looking at China.
Lovely, great. So lots going on here. It's a free event for people to go along to. How do they register?
Well, all they've got to do is to connect with the Chamber of Commerce at Sheffield. The contact there is Melanie. Her number's 0114-201-8924, or you can email Mel on mrippon, RIPPON, at SYITE.com. That's South Yorkshire International Trade.
SYITC.com. Yes. South Yorkshire International Trade Centre. Lovely. Yes. Okay, so get involved. If you want to do business in China, go along to that free event, part of the Maid Festival. And Paul, from the Confucius Institute at Sheffield, thanks very much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
We're open for Business Live.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org across Sheffield and the world. My name's Jamie Veitch. Business Live is our business and social enterprise programme every Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Want to be on the show or suggest something that you think we should cover? Just get in touch. Email Jamie at sheffieldlive.org. Find us at Sheffield Live on Twitter, or find me at Jamie Veitch on Twitter too. And you've just heard an interview with Paul Kilner of the Confucius Institute at the University of Sheffield.
Paul was talking about a forthcoming fringe event about doing business with China that's taking place at next week's MADE Entrepreneurship Festival. Now, talking about the MADE Festival, last year I interviewed a number of the keynote speakers, and we're going to just recap so that you get a flavour of some of the kind of things coming up at this year's MADE. We're going to play two very short interviews, one with entrepreneur Shah Wasmand. She founded Smarter, an online resource for business people. She's an author too. And then an interview with Jamal Edwards, founder of SBTV. So we'll hear last year's interviews with Shah and Jamal now. Shah Wasmand here at MADE, thanks for joining me today. What do you think of the audience here?
I have to be honest, I'm a truly biased Yorkshire fan. If I lived anywhere else other than where I do, I think Yorkshire would be my second home. I love this part of the country.
Why do you love it?
I think people here have far less barriers up around them, and I think they're just more authentic and more real, and that's something that's really important to me. And I think it's much easier to build rapport with an audience here than it is down south.
And great feedback from the audience. They loved your presentation.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was really touching. Genuinely, you know, I have to be honest, I was a little bit annoyed at the last probably 2-3 minutes of my presentation, only because I couldn't see a clock, so I had no idea how much I'd run over. So I was trying to speed it up, and I hate having to speed up the ending of a presentation. But yeah, fantastic feedback, so I'm truly grateful. Really appreciate it.
And what would you say are the secrets in terms of how you've overcome challenges, overcome problems and issues, and made the business the success it is?
I think that the first thing is to accept that nothing ever goes according to plan. So if you're set on perfection, you'll never achieve it. Whereas if you set your goals on following something that you're passionate about, that you love, that you wake up every day and want to do, then it's easier to roll with the punches, because you're going to get them. Things are going to go wrong and you're going to have stumbling blocks. And if you're doing something just for the money, those are the points when you'll just stop. So I think the first thing is to really understand what you're passionate about, understand your strengths, and where those two intersect, that's where you should create your business around.
And what would be your key takeaway for young people who don't know where to start in terms of how to get their business moving?
Start. I know that sounds really simple, but what tends to hold people back is they wait for the perfect moment, and the perfect moment never ever exists. It doesn't happen for anyone, so you have to start. And starting can be a really tiny small thing. Register the domain name, talk to your friends, start on your branding, put up a website. Before you do all of that, if you don't want to do that side of it, create the product. You know, if you're creating a chocolate company or a gluten-free cookie company, take your products and take them out to a farmer's market and try them. Start small, start lean, and then grow and scale. But always, before you do any of that, be really true to yourself about who you are, how you want to live your life, what you're passionate about, and only pursue a business that fits in with that.
Great words, great advice for our audience. Thanks very much for joining me, Shah.
Absolute pleasure, Jamie. Thank you very much.
Chase your dreams, not the competition. I think there's a lot of people out there that are making videos, so one thing that bogs people down is that they try and look at other people and then they're not actually doing what they want to do. So they're thinking, oh, why is their video so cool? Why have they got that person? Why is it? So don't look too much about the competition, just chase your dreams.
You talked about solving problems and always be solving problems.
I'm going to do a t-shirt. Solving problems.
Excellent.
Important, but yeah.
And what do you know now that you wish you'd known when you started out?
What I said earlier, tax, VAT, receipts, keeping all that. I think if I knew that a lot earlier. Well, it's not bad. Like, I've sorted it all out now, but I think I wish someone told me when I was 15 to keep all my receipts for everything. I wish.
So kind of business process.
Yeah, that is the most important thing. Like, that's like basics. I think that's like the most important thing. What I had is I had the brand, the videos, everything there, and a business came and caught up with it. So everyone knew the brand, everyone knew that. And always when I go and do these things, they're like, oh, Jamal, you've got what we want. You've got the business, but we need to build a brand. So it's like, I did it the other way around.
Where do you see the business in 3 years?
Hopefully, building here. I've just been over, the team's just been over to South Africa. I think there's a big market there. Also USA, there's another market, so I want to sort of build SBTV in those areas, try and find a Jamal Edwards or a female that can sort of be my counterpart over there to run it.
That's great, thank you.
No worries.
We're open for business life.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insight and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
This is Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch. And in today's programme, we've been looking forward to next week's Made Entrepreneur Festival. And in our last couple of interviews, we just had a recap of last year's festival. You've just heard interviews with Jamal Edwards, who's founded SBTV, and with Shah Wasmund, who founded Smarter. Those two interviews were recorded at last year's Made Festival. But before that, in today's show, we've had brand new interviews with Peter Wright from Digital Law UK and with Paul Kilner of the Confucius Institute at the University of Sheffield. Now, if you've just tuned in and you've missed those, don't panic, because you can find today's show as a podcast later today on the Sheffield Live website at sheffieldlive.org. Go into radio shows, look up Business Live, and you'll be able to find the podcast. Talking of podcasts, if you missed last week's show, then of course you can still find it, and it's worth a listen, because last week we talked with Roxana Whiteman, founder of social enterprise Uncover, with Claire Collister of the Sheffield Hallam Students' Union. She runs a social enterprise programme there. And with Maurizio Mori, proprietor of Nonna's Sheffield. And again, on the theme of podcasts, regular listeners to the programme will remember that back at the end of September, we talked about an event called Funny Business, in which business people from Sheffield get up in front of their peers and try to be funny. In other words, they do a stand-up routine. Now, the Funny Business event took place on the 7th of October, and we interviewed the MD of Exposed and Blind Mice Media, Phil Turner, on our show. He took place in the event bravely, and the event as a whole has raised £18,000 for the Weston Park Hospital Cancer Charity. So if you want to hear the interview with Phil and with Tina Harrison, who's the Deputy Chief Exec of the Weston Park Cancer Hospital Charity, then you can find it. It's the 25th of September show. So find it at sheffieldlive.org in the podcast section. Now, next week's programme, which will be on Friday the 23rd of October, 9am to 10am as ever, will include interviews recorded at the Made Festival and interviews recorded at next week's Critical Mass event, a social investment event taking place in London, the biggest global event for social investment of the year. So please tune in for that. And thanks, of course, for tuning in today. If you come into Made next week, then come and say hello. I'll be there on the Wednesday at a fringe event, which is free to attend, organised by the Wasco Brown Foundation. And just look that up on Eventbrite or on the Wasco Brown Foundation, or find it on the front page of my website, jamieveitch.co.uk. Everyone taking part is doing it voluntarily, including me. It's a free event. It'd be lovely to see and meet with listeners, so come along to that. But next week's show, then, a Made special and a Critical Mass social investment special. Today's show, thanks for listening. Don't go away, though, because next up on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk music programme. Thank goodness it's folk. That's on from 10am through to noon, so stay tuned for that. And we're going to play out with a little bit of music. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.